It's so good to be in his presence, isn't it? It's wonderful when we just turn our eyes upon him, forget about the things that would so easily distract us, burden us, hinder us. Something so beautiful about turning your eyes upon Christ, where he fills your vision, he captures your attention, your thoughts are set on him, your heart turns towards him. Saints, that is heaven on earth.
Yes.
That is heaven on earth, where Christ becomes everything. He is the center. He's the foundation. He's the author of our faith. He's the one that began it. He's the finisher of our faith. He is all in all, the Alpha, the Omega. He was here before everything. He'll be here after everything. You better make sure that he is everything, because he's the only one that's going to last out all the things that you see and around you. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. We're continuing on this journey. We started on a journey with Abram, the man of God, the friend of God. You know, it's like in the world, if you have a very important friend, a politician, a prime minister, a king, a president, if any of those people were your friend, you'd find a lot of people in this world, naturally speaking, would want to be your friend. Isn't that right? If you knew the Prime Minister, the President, they would want to know you. All of a sudden that would have an effect. But I tell you, a man like Abraham, he was the friend of God. He walked with God. I want to be his friend. I want to follow that godly man. I want to see his example. I want to learn from him. I'd want to commune in fellowship with him along the way if he was here this morning. People who commune with God, I want to walk with them. People who have no time for this gospel, for this Christ, of sitting around fellowship and talking about Christ and the Word of God, they don't want to talk about those things. I don't have much to say to them. But those who want to talk about Christ, I've got an awful lot to say to them. Genesis chapter 13, my message, separation and spiritual vision. Separation and spiritual vision. We've walked with Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees up into Haran. Got stuck there for a little time, didn't we? Then we moved on across the desert into Canaan land. Started to walk through Canaan. That famine, terrible famine came. And we accompanied Abram down into Egypt for a time. Thank God he come to his senses. God brought him back up out of that land, back into the land of Canaan. And he began to walk there. And he come back to that place called Bethel, the house of God. Let's read Genesis 13, reading from verse 1. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had. Thank God he took everything with him when he left. And Lot with him, notice that, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. And then notice this. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled there in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or, if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and then separated. And they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Father, we thank you again for this example, for these footsteps of faith that you've left for us. Lord God, you've written them in your word. Your Holy Spirit uses them to speak to us, Lord God, to instruct us, to challenge us, to correct us, oh God, to warn us of any steps of unbelief, and Lord God, to encourage us to make the steps of faith. Father, I pray that even this morning, as we come to your word, that by faith we'd separate ourselves, and that by faith that we'd catch a vision, a revelation, Lord God, a glimpse of all that you desire for us. Lord God, just help us again as we come to your word. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Our message, separation and spiritual vision. We are continuing on this journey with Abram. With Abraham, we've seen God's dealings with him in raising up a man of faith. God does have to work on somebody to make them a man or a woman of faith. It's not sufficient that when you are born again, you believe God. That by itself doesn't make you a man or woman of God, or a man or woman of faith. What that does is you're beginning on the journey. But once you begin on this walk, this pilgrimage, this journey of faith, God, all of God's dealings is to make you a man and woman of faith. What is faith? It is an utter confidence in God. The highest honor you can do anybody is to believe them. The highest honor or recommendation you can do on anyone is to say, this person can be trusted. I can lean on them. That is a highly acclaimed thing, to be a trustworthy person. When you put faith in God, you're putting your utter confidence in him. You're saying, I believe what you say. I've got a confidence that what you say is true. You're not a liar. You're not a man. You don't change your mind. I can rest my soul, my eternity, my decisions, my life, everything, and what you say. As we've read this chapter 13, we notice, and we've seen it in previous readings, there's a man whose name keeps popping up in our journey so far. Doesn't say much about him until this chapter 13, but his name is Lot. But all through the past weeks, we kept bumping into Lot, though you may not have noticed. His name's always there. He's always in the background. He's always in the journey. He always goes with Abraham wherever Abraham goes. Now, who is this man, Lot? Now, if you go back to chapter 11 and 31, and you'll remember that Terah, Abram's father, he took them out of Ur of the Chaldees. Notice what it says. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son. He was the grandson of Terah. He was the nephew of Abraham. That's who Lot was. And we're told that when they left Ur of the Chaldees, that this man Lot, his nephew of Abraham, he left with them. When they went up to Haran, Lot was in the gathering. He left Ur of the Chaldees behind. He said, the call of God has come to us. We're making a journey. We're going to Canaan land. Do you know, many people like Lot get caught up in spiritual movements. In the church, you'll find in the years ahead, many of you don't have enough of a history behind you to know this, but you will find it in the years ahead. In conventions, in meetings, in spiritual movements, many people get excited. Everybody says, let's go to it. Let's go serve God. But a little bit down the way, when the heat of the desert is felt, when the trials come, when you find serpents in the desert, There's not so many people there. Many people want revival. Not many people want to pay a price for revival. Everybody talks about the New Testament church and what the church was in the book of Acts. Very few people really want it. Everybody talks about it. Everybody prays about it. But we're going to see by the lifestyle and by the response to God and by the steps and decisions you make, what do you really want? Lot was in this movement that left Ur of the Chaldees. But so was Terah, but he got buried in Haran. He never made it to the land. Terah led the way in this spiritual movement, but he would never make it there. He was an old man. He was a man of Ur of the Chaldees. He had no real call from God. But unlike Terah never made it to the land. Lot did make it to the land. Peter, in the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 2, 7, he speaks about Lot being just or righteous. In other words, Lot is a type of a truly genuine, born-again believer. He was a righteous man. He wasn't a sinner. He wasn't outside of the Lord or outside of Christ. He was a real, genuine believer in Christ. He heard the call of God. He heard the gospel. He believed the gospel. He responded to the gospel. And the Bible tells me, now, if I only had the Old Testament, I wouldn't call him righteous, Lot. I wouldn't call him just. If I only read the Old Testament, I'd say he was a scoundrel. He was a rogue. He was a compromiser. He was worldly. He was a worldling. He had no real heart for God. But yet the New Testament reveals that he was a righteous man. Now, it wasn't his good deeds. It was the righteousness of Christ. He believed in God, and God made him righteous, and he would make it to heaven, but only by the skin of his teeth. The Bible talks that sort of person. It says of them that they're saved as by fire. And we'll see this at another stage concerning Lot. He gets saved as by fire. In other words, you get into heaven by the skin of your teeth. Now, I don't want to be that type of person, because you're never sure what side of the line you're really on. You're never sure whether you're just this side of the line or you're just inside the line. You never really know. There's so many doubts, so many fears. And that's who Lot is a type of in the Old Testament. A genuine believer, but a believer who goes bad. A genuine believer, but he doesn't walk in the footsteps of the faith of Abraham like we are told to do. There are Christians in the church, they'll make it to heaven, but only just. They'll make it to heaven, but not with a testimony. They'll make it to heaven, but they weren't men or women of faith. They'll make it to heaven, but they never fulfilled God's will for their lives in this side of eternity. How dreadful to simply get there and say, praise God, I got there, but I never raised up a testimony for God. Lot is an example of such a Christian. It also speaks in, as we see there, it says in chapter 11, verse 31, that Lot was taken by Terah. Terah made sure, come on Lot, you're coming with us. The Lord spoke to Abraham and said, leave all your family behind, leave. It's you and me. But we see that Terah took everybody. The carnal, the lukewarm, the backslidden, the compromiser, the spiritual, the man of faith. Let's all go on this journey. We can all journey together. That was Terah's theology. It was the theology of the old man or the old nature. And there's a lot of it in the church today. Sure, we're all going to Zion. Not with that tongue, you're not. Sure, we're all going to Zion. Not with that controversy in your heart. You see, it's going to have to die at Haran before we can move on. But again in chapter 12, verse 4, Lot is mentioned. It says, so Abraham departed. And this is when he leaves Haran and he's going to Canaan. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Now this term marks Lot's life. Lot went along as well. Lot went with Abraham. He's following the man of God. He's following a man who makes prayer everything. He's following a man who believes in walking by faith. You see, with Israel, you remember, weren't they guided for 40 years in the wilderness? Do you know there's people who follow the pillar, but there's other people who follow the people who follow the pillar. of fire. That's what you get. Many people get caught up in things. But saints, we need to make sure we are walking with God, or we'll get ourselves in a crisis. It's right to follow the example of others. Exampleship's vital. It's important to walk with others who are seeking after God. But you need to make sure that these steps of faith are your steps being made before God. Lot's life was marked by Lot went with them. Lot went along for the ride. Ever seen someone say, well, I'm just popping down to Dublin. I'm just popping down the road to such and such a place. Sure, I'll go with you. Isn't that what someone says? In other words, they weren't really concerned whether they went or not. It wasn't an absolute necessity to go. But sure, I'll go with you for the drive. I'll go with you for a bit of company. There's no sense of determination. There's no sense of necessity. They're just going along for the journey. The next verse, chapter 12, verse 5, it says, and Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all of their substance, notice this, that they had gathered. So here they're leaving Haran for Canaan. And Abraham says, come on, Sarai, you're my wife, you're going. And Lot, you're going with me. He maybe wished a bit down the road he hadn't have done that. And it says they took all of their substance that they had gathered. What does that mean? All the possessions, all the goods. In other words, in Haran, they built up quite a storage here. They're being blessed in Haran. But Haran wasn't the place they were meant to stay. They shouldn't have been in Haran. But they gathered a lot of things in Haran that they took with them into the land of Canaan. And it says, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. So in other words, lots of people were in that movement now. They're all going to Canaan. They're all answering the call of God. But some of them people came from Haran. That was a stopping place. A point, their lives were marked with lukewarmness, carnality, and a halfway house. Well, I'll give God my heart, but I only give it partially. Well, I'll follow after the Lord, but I'll go half the way. And that's the band that were with Abram. And Lot was their head man. He was the leader of the lot. But all of them left Haran for Canaan. In Haran, they got all the substance. They got all these other men walking with them. In chapter 13, verse 1, it says, and when Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all he had, Lot went with them into the south. When they come out of Egypt, this is them coming out. Lot just went with the journey. You see, they've been down there. Abraham is leaving saying, I've got to get out of here. I've got to get back to Bethel. I've got to get back to the house of God. I've got to get back to that altar, that first altar. I've got to get back there again. But Lot's just going along for the journey. Lot's not sure whether, well, should I stay here in Egypt? Well, I better go with the man of God. I'll just follow the man of God. I'll stay with my uncle and I'll go up the road with him. But he didn't realize the necessity of coming out of Egypt. He just went along with Abraham. In chapter 13 and 5 it says, and Lot also, which went with Abraham. This is the term that marks Lot's life. And compromised Christians, this is what marks them. They are just going along. It is not a compulsion. It is not a determination. Now the name Lot means a veil or a covering. And we've known before, I'm sure by now, if you haven't learned it by now, you never will. Name denotes character. So in the Bible, a place name or a person's name always reveals something very important about who they are or what they mean spiritually. So we see that Lot, his name means a veil, a covering. And this is what Lot was like. There was a covering. He couldn't see clearly. It's like there was something standing between him and God. Yes, he was righteous. Yes, he was a believer. Yes, he was walking in footsteps of faith. Yes, he was following the example of Abram, but there was something covering him. There was something he couldn't see clearly. There was something standing between him and the living God. We've already seen Abraham and his walk of faith, the determination to stay at that altar. We see in this chapter 13, when we begin to deal with Abraham, that Abraham come up out of Egypt. Now Abraham has no confidence in himself, no confidence in his own decisions. Hear me, no confidence in his own decisions. He made a choice to go into Egypt, didn't he? That was his decision. A man of God, The friend of God, he made a decision that carried him down to Egypt. When he come back up and come back to the house of God and come back to the altar of God, he's got no confidence in himself, no confidence in his decisions, no confidence in his flesh. He messed up, didn't he? And he says, I am staying at this altar. Chapter 13 begins with Abraham back at the altar of God saying, I am going to make this the place where I stay. I'm staying at the house of God. I'm staying at the altar of God. I have no confidence in my flesh. I've got no confidence in my own guidance. I've got no confidence in my own decisions. I need to rely on God. Here you see a changed man. Now you're beginning to see a man of faith. I tell you, that situation in Egypt, it done something to Abraham. He was not the same man who went down into Egypt that come back up out of Egypt. Now he says, my trust will be in the Lord. I'm going to make decisions differently. Now I'm going to put my utter confidence in the Lord. No famine is going to drive me out of the land again. I'm not going down to Egypt. I'm not being moved out of the will of God. I'm staying here, no matter how hard it gets. You can keep the world, but give me Jesus. In this chapter, we see a challenge. We see a crisis. We see a choice. And we see a dramatic change. We get all of this in this chapter. A challenge, a crisis, a choice, and a change. As you begin to look at this. Now, look at verse 5 and verse 6. You'll begin to see this. We see Abraham and Lot here in the land of Canaan, with all their possessions, all their flocks, and with all the people with them, all of their herdmen. And we're told there's two reasons why there was a problem. They couldn't stay together. First of all, in verse 5 and 6, the land could not bear them. Secondly, in verse 7, because of the strife. Now notice this. In verse 5 and 6, it says their substance was great. Abraham and Lot could no longer continue together. Why? Why could they not dwell together? Sure, it says here that they were brethren, or they were brothers, but they could no longer dwell together in unity and move forward together. It can no longer be. Why was that? It says their substance was very great. They picked so much stuff up from Haran that it was weighing upon them and it was going to divide them. Now here's a genuine man of God, Abram, and here's Lot, a man who's really righteous on his way to heaven, but they can no longer make the same journey. They're not going in the same direction. They don't have the same mind. They're not making the same decisions. They're going in opposite directions. Their hearts are different. Their minds are different, even though both are righteous. And it says here, first of all, that their substance was so great, the wealth of the blessing that they'd gained in Haran and in Egypt. Where did they just come from? Egypt. Do you know they both got very blessed there? Do you know this journey was very good for Lot? He picked an awful lot up in Haran, and he picked an awful lot up in Egypt, and financially they were blessed, and outwardly they were blessed. This has been a good journey for old Lot. He enjoyed the journey. There were great blessings in it, in staying close to Abram. He prospered. His flocks had grown. He'd become a man of great stature. Lot had profited in his journey with Abraham. There's always dangers with growth. Now hear me, because look at them, they've both grown, haven't they? They've got more than they can handle. And with growth there is always dangers. First of all, there's the danger. First of all, there's the danger of riches. When your riches abound, you know, sometimes we're praying to make ends meet, keeps you close to God. You have financial needs, you have mortgages, you have burdens, you have basic things, buying a pair of shoes. I can remember days I barely had enough money to buy toothpaste every month, but God always provided. If I took you back to my bank account, it never dropped below £10 for a 7-year period. It got pretty close, it got on the mark, but I always had £10 in the account. Could always buy him a toothpaste. I tell you, that makes you to lean on God. That isn't lack of faith. That is faith. I've got everything I need. Got my toothpaste. What more do I need? I tell you, just keep on walking with God. But do you know what happened with Abraham and Lot? When Finances, riches began to abound. There's always going to be problems there. So there's danger when riches or prosperity grows, or we all have our needs met and everybody's happy and we're buying our cars and we've got our houses and we've got our families and we've got everything set up. There's dangers with that. Be very careful. Do you know when we lack many things, we have to lean heavily. We're saying, brother, sister, pray for me. When we have everything, we're going, sure, I'm okay. What's their problem? There's dangers with that. Secondly, there's dangers in knowledge. I'm talking about spiritual knowledge. People begin to learn things. Well, I know the Bible now. Well, I know the preaching. Well, I know about God. I know the gospel. I know what the Bible says. That can bring a great danger. You get weighed down with so much knowledge that it's going to cause a division. Do you know, along the way, I've seen people have got so filled with knowledge, not a pure knowledge of Christ, not a revelation of Christ, but with head knowledge, that we had to separate, go different directions. They got so weighed down with knowledge, doctrinal disputes, you know, crossing the T's, dotting the I's. They got so caught up with that, they lost Christ in their knowledge. And it caused a division. There's also an increase in time. As we go down the road, time passes. There's great dangers with the passing of time. We grow used to things unless we're careful. You can grow used to anything. You can grow casual about anything. Be careful in this church. Let's not let it in. It doesn't have to be here. It doesn't need to come into your life. You used to almost weep to be in the presence of God and be in His house. You can suddenly casually walk in as if it was nothing. Do not let that come into your heart. Guard your heart against those things, because it will bring a burden and a division between the spiritual and the carnal. All of these things make a division, how we respond to them, but also experiences. People say, well, I've been born again. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, the Lord spoke to me, or a miracle was done, or He provided for me. Sure, I know the Lord. I've met people along the way. You can't talk to them. You can't minister them. But I've had an experience with God. You can't tell me anything. Well, you really do have a problem if you ever get there. You know what? I feel like I'm a little boy and I'm only beginning and I've got all my life ahead of me. Honestly, saints, I've got a history with God, but I feel like I've hardly just begun this journey. I tell you, I can see hills, mountains, valleys that I haven't walked through yet. There's a whole world in Canaan that I want to walk in and I have not experienced yet. Don't you think you've tasted of anything yet? We've got a whole lot more. The Lord had profited them and they had grown, and now here was a crisis. The land could not bear them. Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen, they're in conflict. This was the second great problem. There was strife in verse 7, strife between the herdmen. This word strife means contest, controversy, or dispute. It's a legal disagreement or legal argument. In other words, they're saying, this is our bit of ground. This is where the fence is. Your flock should not be coming over. Your herd shouldn't be crossing that line. See that rock there? It marks the boundary between you and us. You see, strife had come between them, not between Abram and Lot. It starts down there in the herdsmen. You know what? Abraham's herdsmen were coming. Abraham, do you know what Abraham? Do you know what they're doing? And Lot's herdsmen were coming to him and saying, Lot, do you know what his herdsmen are doing? Finally, it gets to Abraham and Lot, and they're in conflict over all of this. But this word strife, it means to be in contest or controversy. That shouldn't be in the church. That shouldn't be amongst brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not in competition with you. I shouldn't have a controversy with you. We're meant to be helping each other to walk by faith and to possess the land and to make a difference in this city. You show me people or a church that begins to enter into strife and it tolerates it and it just lives there, living together in an atmosphere of strife. That's unbearable. Isn't it? A marriage where the husband and wife are always arguing, always in strife, always divided, always debating, always disagreeing. Saints, I want out of that. That's terrible. That is not the will of God. That atmosphere. You see, that atmosphere creates contention. In verse 8, Abram used the word strife again. It means to quarrel or to provoke. It means to grapple or to quarrel or to wrangle over things. So we're seeing this. Now remember, these are two men of God. Two herds have come together. But it's just too much now. All this quarrel. They cannot live together. I wonder where Lot's herdsmen came from. They came from Haran. That's where they came from. The backslidden, the half-hearters. Sure, you don't need to pray. You don't need to evangelize. You don't need to be that holy Jew. That's what they start calling you. Holy Jew. Give you names. As if there's something strange. They start saying, you know, Abram's people, they think they're special. They think they're spiritual. They think they're holier than us. And there was this controversy. And you'll always get that between carnal Christianity and those who simply want to walk with God. You try to make all of them live together and dwell together. You will have strife. The spiritual cannot dwell with the carnal. It's impossible. It says at the end of verse 7, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. In other words, the heathen were there, the unbelievers. Here's two men who believe in Christ. Here's people who all say they're following Christ. But there's controversy. It's a shame if the neighbours hear that. It's a shame if the world out there sees controversy amongst God's people. It ought not to be. In verse 8 and 9... we read there that Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and between thee. Abraham was a man, he was a peaceable man. He didn't enjoy strife or arguments or debates. He says at the end of verse 8, we are brethren, you and me, we're brothers in Christ. We ought not, there shouldn't be strife between us. And he's speaking a lot. And he's saying, your herd men are in strife with my herd men. And he said, this isn't good. I don't want this. I don't want this unity in our camp. I don't want this controversy, this wrangling all the time, this arguing and debating. He says, it's vexing my soul. He says, I'm tired of it. He says, it ought not to be. And he says, between thy herd men and my herd men, for we are brethren, is not the whole land before thee? Separate. Notice this, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. If thou go to the right, I'll take the left. This is what Abraham presents to him. Notice that Abraham was a peacemaker. He was a peaceable man. He didn't enjoy all of this. He wanted them to part as friends. He could have got angry, couldn't he? He could have said, sort your men out. He could have said many things, but he didn't. He says, look, let us not fight. That's not good. Let us just go different ways. Let us separate. Wherever you want to go, that's fine. I'll take second choice. Abraham even resigned the right to make the first choice and the best choice. He's the oldest. He's the most mature. He's leading everything. And yet he takes the second choice. He resigns his right to take the first place. He wanted to part his friends. And he left the choice to Lot. Do you know what that takes? Faith. See, if you're in this situation, and for the sake of peace, well, Lot, just choose what land you were. Not many Christians would do that, would they? Well, here's two cars. Here's an old banger. And here's a Porsche. Lot, take your choice. And whatever one you leave, I'll take it that that's God's will for me to have. Now, which car's Lot going to leave? Takes an awful lot of faith. I tell you, it takes a walk with God to say, Lot, you choose the car, and I'll take the one that's left over and drive it for the next 20 years, 50 years. I'll do that. I'll believe that God is in this. But I'm tired of the strife. I don't want this. But Abraham done exactly that, and far more than that. It's exactly what he done. You see, when we're faced with choices, the character's revealed. Decisions and choices reveal a lot about a man and a woman. And you know what? Each one of you in this room, the decisions you've had to face this year reveal an awful lot about you. Now, it's not that you can't change and you can't grow and you can't learn. Remember, Abram's decision to go to Egypt, that wasn't a good decision, but he learned from it. When he come up out of it, he's a different man. He'll never make a decision like that again. Now here's a deciding time. Abraham is a different man, but Lot never learned anything in going through Egypt. Abraham was not an angry man. At this point between Lot and Abram, we see that Abraham was not an angry man. He was not a fighter. He was not a lover of arguments. He was not covetous. His heart was absolutely free. Here's a decision. Here's a crisis. And now we're going to see, does Abraham have covetousness in his heart? Do you know, each one of you in this room, you will face things, and it's going to reveal what is in your heart, who you are, what type of faith do you have within you. It reveals. See, Abraham had his confidence in God, not in man. His choices always reveal the character of a person. In verse 9, Abraham says unto Lot, separate thyself from me. He didn't cast him out of the camp. He didn't reject him. He didn't chase him off. He just said, look, here's the answer. Rather than us being controversy and conflict, you think differently than me, Lot. You make decisions differently than me. You believe differently. We are going in different directions. So Lot, here's the answer. Rather than have a controversy between us, you choose where you want to go, and I'll take whatever's left over. All I want to do is peace. I just want to walk with God. You make a choice, Lot. A choice was forced upon Lot at this point. He gives Lot the choice, separate thyself. This word separate means to divide or make a division. He is asking Lot to separate from him. It is not enough for Abram to leave Ur, or Haran, or Egypt. Now Abraham must leave Lot. You see, this is a walk of separation. You may say, but I've left Ur behind, but I can stay at Haran. Oh no. You might have got through Haran and say, but I've left Haran, but I can go down to Egypt. Oh no. You might have come up out of Egypt, go back to the altar of God. Now I'm at Bethel, in the house of God. I'm a man of prayer. I want revival. And sure, me and Lot, well, let's just accept that the strife is normal for church life. Let's accept that the separation is normal. The carnality, the carnal way of living and thinking, this is a normal part of church life. No! Abraham wasn't a perfect man, but he wanted to be. Abraham wasn't the finished product, but he wanted to be. Abraham hadn't made all the right steps of faith, but he now was gonna, determinedly. This is what we see here in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. It says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We're told in Proverbs 9 and 6, forsake the foolish, talking about people, forsake the foolish and live. In other words, if you don't forsake the foolish, it'll probably mean your death, your demise. So in other words, you've got to separate from foolish people in order to truly live the Christian life. There are some lots along the way you will have to separate yourself from. And I warn you, in the future there'll be lots. They say, I'm born again like you. I believe the Bible like you. I'm praying for revival like you. Why do you act differently than me? You're convicting me. You ought to be like us, like Lot's band. But you need to separate yourself from that. It also says in Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools, he shall be destroyed. Abraham brought forth the message to Lot, we need to separate. That was the message from a man of God, a peace-loving man, a man who walked with God and was God's friend. He said, you Lot and me need to separate. Now I know you're going to heaven, but down here we're going to have to walk different ways, because your heart is already going a different way. Your thinking is already going a different way. We're not going the same direction. With that decision, all that happened was, what manifested was what was already in there in both men. All it was the outward manifestation of what had always been there in reality. Sometimes separation is the best way to stop division. Let me say that again, because it sounds very Irish. Sometimes separation, listen, sometimes separation is the best way to stop division. While they were together, they were divided. It's better that they divide. While they lived together, there was nothing but strife. Sometimes it's better to separate. It will stop the division, the controversy, the backbiting, the hatred, the bitterness, the envy, the jealousy. We need to stop this in the house of God and in our walk with God. We need to get on with the walk in faith. Lot will always hinder you. You'll always be caught up in debates and arguments with Lot. Always somebody wanting to argue over doctrine, or argue over something stupid, or argue over something that doesn't matter. Always that. You've got to be free of Lot if you're going to walk by faith. He will hinder you. You'll be caught in a realm of strife. You'll begin to think church life is nothing but strife and arguments. No, church life is something far greater than that. That isn't normal. That is not normal. It is better that brethren should separate than quarrel. Hear me. It's better the two brothers in Christ that they go different ways. And this was Abraham's theology. It was the word of a wise man, a godly man, a man of faith. It was an act of faith. You go your way, I'll go my way. Choose what you want to do. It was an act of faith. In verse 11 says, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Now in verse 9, Lot is faced with a choice. Abraham says, you choose. In verse 11, Lot makes the choice. He chose the Jordan Valley. But in verse 10, we see how he made that choice. And that's very important. It says in verse 10 that Lot lifted up his eyes and he beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. How did Lot make his decision? He's on his way to heaven, but he's about to make a decision that's not right or righteous or wise. He's about to make a decision that's going to have dire consequence for himself, his family, and everybody he knows. He's about to make that decision. Notice here how he makes the decisions. It says he lifted up his eyes and he looked with his natural eyes. He looked at something and thought he has all the wisdom and experience to go, that's the choice for me. He uses natural sight. If you ever go with your natural eyes and your natural ears in this walk of faith, you'll make a wrong decision. I promise you. I promise you. You will need to make a decision differently than that. And this is what worldly Christians do. They make decisions. They look at everything. They size it all up. And with their carnal wisdom, they make a decision. You're heading for disaster. You're heading for trouble, but you don't realize it. Do you know what you're doing? You're choosing the best thing. I'm going to do that. I'm going here. I'm going to be with this person. Sure, this is okay. Oh yes, it'll be okay. We'll see where you are a little bit down the road. This is how Lot made his decision. He, first of all, looks with his eyes. Secondly, he saw the benefits, didn't he? He starts to look at the land and he says, it's like the garden of the Lord. What's the garden of the Lord? It's Eden. Do you know what he said? There's something very pure about it. I look at it, see, he had to put a spiritual veneer on it. He couldn't say he's making a carnal choice or he's choosing the world. But look at it. It's like the Garden of Eden. Yes, there's beautiful green fields for your flocks. That's why you want it. It's blossoming. It's beautiful. And see, your heart's being drawn towards it. He said it's like the Garden of Eden. So it seems to have a spiritually good reason for being there. This is a spiritual choice. Sure, I want it. For spiritual reasons. But what's your motive? What's your basis of thinking it? This ground that his eyes fell on were also, it says, they were like the land of Egypt. It reminded him of Egypt. When he was down in Egypt, it reminded him of him of Egypt. Do you know why? There were cities there. In this area that he was looking on and that he chose, it was filled with many cities. And it actually took his mind right back to Egypt. And he began to think of Egypt. Do you know what? When Abraham was down in Egypt, when he got out of there, he learned something. He was a changed man. He no longer wanted Egypt. He's going to walk with God in faith. But Lot didn't learn anything. Do you know, when Lot was down in Egypt, he looked about at the buildings and the cities and the provisions and the riches. Do you know, he come up out of Egypt. Yes, he went with Abram. But do you know, in his heart, he was thinking of Egypt. Egypt has cities. Egypt has provisions. That never left him. And where he is now, as he looks down into that Jordan Valley, and he beholds a land very similar to Egypt. He says, this reminds me of Egypt. This reminds me of Ur of the Chaldees. Oh yes, it's very spiritual. But it reminds me of those things. You see, this land, it appealed to his carnal nature. It stirred up memories of worldly things. But it also, the things, but also in these verses we see the things he did not see. See, he's looking on a land, he's making a choice saying, sure, this is good for me. But there's many things Lot didn't see because he wasn't looking by faith. He didn't see the consequences of his decision because there was dire consequences. He couldn't see it. He didn't size it up. He didn't say, what's this going to mean for me in the future? Or my wife or my children? He never thought about it. He made the decisions and that he was going to have to live with for years. For years. Also, he didn't see the sin of the Sodomites. All he was looking at was beautiful land. He never stopped and said, down there are wicked men and women, probably the most wicked people on the face of the planet, and I'm making a choice to choose that land. God help him. If he'd been a man of faith, he says, let them keep the good land. Let them keep the riches. Let them keep all the provision. After our being a barren hillside with my faith in God, than to go down there and lose my confidence in God. That's what I'd rather do. So he didn't see the consequence of his decision. He didn't see the sin of the Sodomites. And he didn't see God's coming judgment. Do you notice there in verse 10 what it says? It actually, in talking about this land being like the Garden of Eden and being like Egypt, it also says that it was beautifully watered everywhere before it was destroyed, before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Do you know what else Lot didn't take into account in his decision? Was that all of this was going to be destroyed by God's judgment. He couldn't see God's coming judgment. He couldn't see that all of this is going to perish under the judgment of God. So he makes a decision and he's not even seeing these things. All he sees is a beautiful land. And I want to challenge you and encourage you. If you're going to be a man of faith like Abraham, you cannot be like Lot making decisions like that. Well, sure, it's good. Sure, there's money. Sure, there's finances. Sure, she's a nice wee girl, isn't she? Yes, she might take you to hell. Sure, he's very handsome, isn't he? Yeah, probably a wretch as well. Who do you want to join yourself to? A Lot or an Abram? One will take you to Sodom. The other will take you to a mountainside, to an old-fashioned altar. You better make sure that you know the difference between Lot and the church and Abram. Abraham is always going to take you to an old-fashioned altar at Bethel. But carnal Christians like Lot will always take you to Sodom. And the consequence are unbelief. Notice this with Lot. First he saw. Then he chose. Then he separated himself from Abraham. Then it says he journeyed east. Notice, what he began to look at, he began to journey there. All these decisions set him on a direction, going towards the east. In verse 12, it then says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Oh, he's still in the tent, isn't he? He's still on the move. He's still making forward strides. But he's now setting his tent. He's meant to be a stranger in this world. He's meant to be a pilgrim. But he's making decisions to set his whole life towards Sodom and towards Gomorrah. It says that in that spot, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. Here's a man in a tent living in a city. Can you imagine that in the middle of Limerick? Somebody setting up their tent in the middle of the city, all the houses in round. But he says, I'm a tent man myself. Oh yes, I'm in the city, but I love tents. I love the open air. It looks ridiculous. But here's a man with a tent in the middle of cities. He wants the benefit of the cities, but he wants to be known as a Christian who lives in a tent. He wants to be like Abraham, living in a tent, on the move. This world isn't my home. Is it not? You're acting like it. You want to live near the cities. You're setting your home towards Sodom, the most wicked city in all of the earth. All of this, we last see him here. He begins to settle in the midst of these cities. He has set his home towards Sodom. If you read the following chapters, do you know where you next see him? He is in the city of Sodom. You see, you never realize when you make a little decision where it's going to lead. You better know before you make the decision. Lot didn't realize he would end up in Sodom. If Abram had said, don't go to Sodom. Oh no, I won't go to Sodom. I'm just going in that direction. Be very careful the decisions that you make. Eventually, if you read chapter 19 of Genesis, we see that Lot has swapped his tent for a house in Sodom. There's no more tent. He's got a fixed abode in Sodom. And if he ever gets out of that city before the judgment of God, he'll be by the skin of his teeth and he'll lose everything. Not only was he in Sodom, but Sodom got into his home. Be very careful of Sodom getting into your home. It is real. Notice what Lot done. He moved away from Bethel, the house of God. He moved away from the family altar. He says, sure, I can take God with me. God will go with me. What, into Sodom? Sodom got into his home because there was no altar. There was nothing in Lot's home to keep Sodom out. His daughters became a part of that system. His wife began to think like the Sodomites. All of the men around him. He became a mockery in that city. But notice, he moved away from Bethel, he moved away from the family altar, and he moved away from Abram. He made a choice. He no longer wanted to walk with Abraham or be in fellowship with Abraham. He's not there holding on to Abraham saying, God help me, you're not getting away from me. That's what Elisha done to Elijah. Many other examples in the Bible where people who seen somebody who knew God said, I'm not letting go of you. I want your God. I want to serve him. It's reality. Do you remember when we dealt with the messages? Choose your church. 3 Sundays running. I warned people for the initial few moments before we taught or preached those messages about the choices you make. 3 weeks I warned. And I gave this scripture, Psalm 106 verse 13, concerning Israel in the wilderness. They soon forgot his works. They forgot. They once knew them, they once remembered them. They forgot. And they waited not for his counsel. In other words, they made decisions without God's guidance. Verse 14, but they lusted exceedingly. What that word means, it means to wish for, to covet, desire, prefer. Means all of those things. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them the request. But he sent leanness into their soul. Do you remember what I said in those messages? I said, be very careful of what you choose. Be careful of demanding from God something that he will actually give you. God will give you what you demand. If he warns you and he tries to correct you and he's trying to lead you and you say, no, 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 I want my way. You say, fine. Lot, you want to go down towards Sodom? Fine. You're righteous, you're on your way to heaven, you've believed in me, but you want to make your decisions, you're going to suffer the consequence of that decision. Do you remember how we labored with that, making choices, of being careful of what you ask for, of being very careful of how you handle situations? Do you know who the people were in Israel at that stage who started to tempt God? They were called the mixed multitude. They come up out of Egypt. When the people of Israel come out of Egypt, these others came called the mixed multitude. They were people who were Egyptians coming with them. They were a mixture, a confused mixture. But they said, we'll go with you. You're getting out of here. We'll go with you. But as soon as they got in that wilderness, they started to squabble and debate and argue. They're Egyptians in heart. They got out of Egypt, but Egypt was in them. They were Egyptians in heart. That's what they were like. Notice that Lot was a just man, but he was going in a different direction for Abraham. This has been in his heart all the while, but not manifested. Now this choice, this decision, is going to manifest what's in his heart. Can I encourage you? Be careful of the decisions. When God brings you to a crossroads, a decision point, a crisis point, now you're going to make a decision. Either as a spiritual man or a carnal man. One or the other. Either you'll follow the example of Lot, or you'll follow the example of Abraham. It says in verse 14, and notice as the two men separate. This had been in Lot's heart all along. Two men, two pathways, two different visions. We see Lot going on down the hill. No more strife, thank God. No more division, thank God. No more squabbling over stupid boundaries. Now, Abraham, oh yes, they're weaker. They've lost some strength, lost friendships. But now Abraham says, I'm going to follow the Lord. Notice what the Lord says to him now in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from, in other words, God blessed it. This was God's blessing him. God was commending him. It wasn't until he separated from Lot that God spoke to him again. And he says, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which thou seest will I give you. Notice here, it's only after Abram separates from Lot that he's given a spiritual vision by God. God takes him up on the mountain near Bethel and he says, look to the south, to the west, to the east, to the north. Look all around you. I'm going to give you all of this. All of this. Do you realize as we walk with God and separate from things, God gives us a greater vision? Sometimes our vision is restricted. We don't see all that God wants to show us because we hold on to things that are Lot. Do you have a lot in your life? You might have a lot of things in your life, but do you have a lot in your life? I believe in our old carnal nature. It acts like a lot to hinder us. But you need to be separate. There's things that can be in our life you need to jettison. You need to separate from. You need to get rid of before God will take you further. There is a price in the decisions we make. Either to follow God or to go by the wayside. Notice that the promise, remember last time we said the promise keeps increasing. Every time God comes and speaks, it gets bigger. It gets better. It gets fuller. And the Lord reveals something that he didn't the previous time. Now the Lord speaks about his seed. He says, your children will be more than the dust of the earth. Look at all those Arab countries. All those Arabic countries. Look at the Jews out across the world. Look at Israel. All these people are Abram's physical seed. God says, your physical seed will be more than you could number or count. Was God right? Was God right? There's Lot saying, I want the best. Abraham chooses God and he gets everything. Do you know what God has spoken? Abraham says, I've given you the land. That's why in faith he could afford to say, here Lot, you choose what bit of the land you want. Whatever you want, you can have it. Do you know why? He's a man of faith. He says, God has given me everything. If you believe that, you won't be a manipulator. Show me someone who manipulates situations or conversations. I'll show you someone lacking faith, and we can all do it, can't we? You say, 2 + 2 = 4. If I do this, I will get this. Then I'll be okay. Be very careful. Be very, very careful. What you're doing is lacking faith. You're actually saying, if I just maneuver things, I'll be all right. You're not acting in faith. Abraham said, I believe God's promise. God said he's going to give it to me. Let Lot do what he's going to do. I am following God. Everything will be okay. It will be okay. Notice as well, the Lord says in verse 17, arise, walk through the land and the length of it. Do you remember this walk, this pilgrimage began with the Lord just saying, I'm giving you a promise, I'm going to show you the land. Then he takes him to the land. Now he says, I want you to walk up and down in it. Do you know what that means? God, in our Christian walk, he gives us promises, our truths, our revelations of Christ. And he says, I not only want to show you this, I want you to walk in it. You hear the testimonies, I want you to experience it. But you'll have to get rid of Lot first. You hear about many things that God has done with others and you want to experience them. To enter from hearing and seeing to walking in the land, you'll have to get rid of Lot. It's after he separates from Lot that God says, rise up, walk in the land, in the fullness of it, I've given it to you. I know the world out there might laugh at you if you told them, but I have. Verse 8, then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar. You see that? The Lord says, rise up and walk. What does Abraham immediately do? He rises up and walks. Right, pack up the tents, pull up the tent pegs. We're on the move. We are going to obey God. I'm going to walk in this land. And it says that he moved to the plain of Mamre. Notice this as we close, which is Hebron. He moved from Bethel to Hebron. He moved from Bethel, the house of God, to this other place called Hebron. And it says there that he dwelt in the plain of Mamre. Now this word in the Hebrew, plain of Mamre, the word plain means oak or strong tree. The word Mamre means fatness. Do you know what happened with Lot? When he got what he wanted, he made his decision. God sent leanness into his soul. Spiritual famine into his soul. Spiritually, he would barely make it. Barely make it. He lost his tent. He lost the altar. He lost his testimony. And eventually would lose his family. All of that. But he got to heaven. But here's Abraham. He moves to Hebron. And here he dwells at a place which is the oak or strong tree and a place of fatness. God sent spiritual fatness into Abraham. And this place, Hebron, listen to what it means. It means fellowship, association, or company. Hebron is actually a place of alliances or confederation or a place of making covenants. Hebron is the place of covenant making. It is a place where you join together. Now listen to me as we close. We join together with others in covenant. I mean real covenant relationships together. We've left behind Bethel where we separated from Lot. Now we're at Hebron. And at Hebron, Abram's going to come into agreements and relationships with others. Strong, binding, covenant agreements. He couldn't do that with Lot being there. He had to get rid of Lot to come to Hebron and to experience the fullness of God's covenant blessing in fellowship together. Hebron means fellowship. There is a realm of covenanted fellowship at Hebron where God opens up the windows of heaven, where love is shed abroad in the hearts. There's great joy in the midst. There's peace in the midst. That wasn't there with Lot. Always strife, always division. It's at Hebron where Abraham, Isaac and Jacob lived for many years. They and their wives, Rebecca, Sarai and Leah, all were buried. If you go to Hebron today, all of their bones are buried there at Hebron. It's at Hebron that King David was crowned. It's Hebron that Caleb asked for. It's a place of covenant making. Notice as we close, I'm allowed three or four, aren't I? This chapter 13. This chapter 13, it begins with Abraham back at the altar at Bethel. It finishes with Abram building an altar at Hebron. But he had to separate from Lot to make this journey. To get from Bethel with its altar to Hebron with its altar, Lot must go. You must separate from Lot to make this journey. This is a spiritual journey from Bethel to Hebron. But Lot will hinder that journey. You'll never make it to Hebron. We as a church will never get to Hebron. The place of covenanted fellowship together. Of genuine strong bonded relationships. Of the family of God being made manifest. Until we get rid of Lot. It says in Psalm 4 and 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. To set apart, that word means to distinguish, to put a difference, to separate, to sever. What's the Lord saying in Psalm 4 and 3? He's saying that the Lord has separated. He has divided. He's made a difference between Lot and Abram. And why? The Lord will hear when I call unto him. The Lord has separated the godly man and woman for himself. You know what the Lord says? I'm separating you out that you'll serve me. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2:21, if any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour. Do you want to be a vessel unto honour? Do you want to be a Lot or do you want to be an Abram? A vessel of honour is Abram. And it goes on, Paul writing to Timothy, a vessel of honour sanctified. In other words, made holy, separated. And meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. The term there, meet for the master's use, means easily used or usable. Do you know what the Lord's saying? If you separate yourself from Lot and the thinking of Lot and the decisions of Lot, you will actually become a very usable person. Sanctified, meet for the master's use. You're saying, Lord, here am I. You can use me. And God is saying, I have separated you out. I've divided you. I've cut you off from Lot. Why? Because I'm going to use you. You're mine. I'm going to fulfill my plan through you. I've got a purpose for you. But I had to separate you from Lot to bring forth that plan at Hebron. Let's stand. Oh, Saviour. Lord God, we want to make this journey of faith. Lord God, will you encourage us? Lord God, we want to stand on that hillside and look to the south, look to the north, look to the west, to the east. Lord God, we don't want to be down in the valleys, in the city of Sodom, in the cities of the valleys. Lord God, we don't want to be down there in the midst of wicked men. Lord God, we want to go to higher ground. Lord God, we want to ascend the hill of the Lord. We want to behold a spiritual vision where we'll see all that you desire for us, where our ears are going to be open to your plan and your purpose, where our eyes are going to be open to see what you would show us. Lord God, two men, two visions, two lifting up of the eyes, but two looking in different directions. Will you help us by your grace? My God, help us to make spiritual decisions. My God, make this church to make a journey to Hebron. My God, we want to go to Hebron and build an altar. My God, lead us by your grace and mercy. And Lord God, we want to behold all that you have for us. Lead us to Hebron. We pray it today. Lead us to Hebron. By faith, we want to go on this journey. In the name of Jesus, bring us and raise up a church, O God, a covenanted church, a place of fellowship, of genuine relationships, where Christ is going to be the center. Lord God, where the joy of the Lord is going to be, where the love of Christ will be shed abroad in the hearts, where the peace of God will guard us. My God, just help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to you, our God.